Boricua, Latina, Jasmine. Solo quiero una vida buena, estar con mis amigos y andar afuera. No quiero más complicaciones, solo uno con buenas intenciones. Intentions, intentions, often left without a mention.
Very welcome to this week's episode of the Hot Seat Podcast. In the hot seat this week, we have a guest from overseas. We have the amazing, talented Jasmine Ortiz. You are very welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on, Kelly. I really appreciate your time.
No worries at all. Can you give us a brief background about who Jasmine Ortiz is for our Irish listeners?
Absolutely. I'm an American pop singer, songwriter, and producer. I'm currently a rising senior at the University of Miami, studying musicianship, artistry development, and entrepreneurship. It's just been something that I've been passionate about for a very long time, pursuing music professionally.
Amazing. You are like multi-talented. You have so much stuff going on. But take me back to when you were a young kid. You played instruments in school. You got up and performed. You even composed a song when you were like 5 years old. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, of course. Well, thank you for asking. I started playing piano when I was 3 because I sought out lessons. After a moment, my parents and I were out to dinner in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And legend has it that I snuck out of my high chair, climbed up onto this old 1920s Prohibition era stage and started plunking out a melody on the piano. So I had never taken piano lessons before. I was only like 2.5, maybe 3 years old. But that really signaled to my parents that I had an interest in it. And then after they realized I was on stage, pulled me off, I was like begging to go back. And then for weeks to months after that day, I was begging for piano lessons. And it was really hard for them to find someone who would take someone as young as me, because most schools won't take kids under 5, just for attention span, lack of reliability, not being able to practice. But we ended up getting an audition with my piano teacher, who I was with for 17 years, because my mom begged her. She's like, please just do it to let her, you know, get it out of her system. And then I ended up having the attention span to take lessons starting at 3.
Amazing. It's crazy how young you were when you were able to like bash out a melody and just jump it up. Like, is there music in your family or was this just a natural instinct for you?
It was definitely a little bit of both. My mom has always been extremely musical. She's a vocalist. She's worked in the music industry before. And my father has also worked in the music industry, but neither of them are instrumentalists and no one in my family really is. So just kind of how it came out in that sort of way was really unique for my family.
Brilliant. So talk me through your time in school then. So from going to eventually getting your piano lessons to then picking up 4 other instruments, what was the process behind that?
I've always wanted to be a guitarist since I was really little. I've always loved rock music. I kind of grew up with like the 90s, 2000s, pop rock vibes, like Green Day, My Chemical Romance, Fall Out Boy, Weezer. I just kind of grew up with all of those different bands being really influential to me. So I loved the guitarists in those bands. I loved the guitar solos. I loved how flexible of an instrument it can really be in many genres. I feel like you can always do anything with a guitar. So I was begging my parents to let me start taking lessons and to get me a guitar up until the age of 9 when they finally caved and allowed me to start lessons. Their logic was they wanted me to get good at piano first so I wouldn't be too distracted, which made sense. So then when I started guitar lessons, I loved it. I've been really passionate about it ever since. And then I started saxophone and viola in middle school, just kind of picking things up with orchestra and band, testing them out, seeing how I liked it. And then I started playing drums in high school for a jazz ensemble that I was in that just didn't have a drummer. So that was pretty much like self-taught. I just learned some basic grooves and really just how to keep up with the ensemble. But it was a lot of fun and it definitely made me a better instrumentalist overall to keep up with rhythm.
Did you ever find yourself like favoring one instrument over the others, or was it always just an even love throughout?
I feel like that's so hard because at different times I've favored different ones over the others, but I feel like in general, I definitely favor guitar over everything. But I also love piano a lot because I've been playing it the longest. And when I sing, I usually play piano or guitar. So it kind of switches up.
Brilliant. What was it like then when you came to kind of writing and composing your first song?
So I was like 7 or 8 when I wrote like my first full pop song. It was called Turn Up the Stereo. It was literally just about being a kid and like listening to the radio and hearing your favorite song come on. So that was really cool. I was singing the melody and the lyrics around the house, and my mom was like, "Oh, that's catchy. Like, what song is that?" And I was like, "Oh, I made it up." And she's like, "Are you sure? Like, you didn't hear that from anywhere?" And I was like, "No, I made it up." So that's when we all kind of discovered that I had a gift for songwriting, and then it just started developing more and more from there. I would say all through high school, I wrote a bunch of songs. I really started honing my lyric writing abilities, but it wasn't until I got to college that I really delved into the production side of things and got proficient on Logic Pro X and just kind of working in a digital audio workspace, learning how to really make a song start to finish. So in October, I put out my first ever fully self-produced and self-written song, Trick or Treat. And that was super rewarding for me, just kind of being able to see the process through start to finish.
I don't know how it happened, you just stopped responding. I check my snap and your post in the bar that you're in. I guess it's fine, but I deserved a goodbye. I toss and turn, wondering what went wrong. When was it something I said over ramen? I won't judge myself, cause you left me to guess. Think about it. Think about it. You messed up. I am the one who's straight out a movie scene. I don't want you if you're not good to me. Don't waste my time if you're just playing games.
You're just playing games.
But then you hit me up drunk at 5 a.m. Let's throw it back to the hickey right on your neck. What can I say? I know I didn't do that. You still paid for dinner with a laugh.
Street.
What was it like then for you to go through the process of creating that first song and producing your first song? Because obviously we know there's a lot involved in the creation of a track. So for you to do that for the first track and then release it, what was that, the whole process, like the creative process like?
Really what I started out with was going on a website called Splice, which allows you to sign up for a membership and then you get free loops or samples or even plugins off of their site that you can utilize in a DAW like Logic. So I oftentimes start out with loops that I find really interesting. I'll either take like a rhythm section, a drum beat, other percussive elements, maybe even a cool guitar lick, a chord progression. So one of those key pieces that really can help define the beginning of a song. I'll start with that, plug that in there, maybe pick up a couple other pieces that I feel like go with the vibe of the song. It doesn't even really matter what the BPM is or the key, because you can change all of those things in Logic itself. So it's extremely flexible of a platform to use. And then once I kind of figure out the layout, maybe some elements that I want to pull from Splice or other websites, then I will kind of piece things together and start out by laying my own chord progression down on my MIDI keyboard, which is basically like a little piano that I set up and plug in, and I can use with different instrument samples. So I can make my keyboard sound like a trumpet or sound like a guitar or sound like a flute. So I usually lay down a chord progression with some sort of piano sample that I'm using for that. And then from there, it just kind of goes along with the process of like how I'm feeling most creative. Like if I'm setting up the song form, if I'm writing lyrics first, if I have a melody idea, just any of those things.
Brilliant. So there is a lot of thought that goes into it.
Yes.
Talk to me about where you get your inspiration from, because a lot of your tracks are quite poppy, but we also have kind of a hip hop inspired throughout. So talk to me a little bit about your inspirations.
I would say my inspirations are some of my favorite artists currently. I'm super inspired by Amine. I think he's an awesome rapper and artist. He's really great at, you know, combining unique sounds with unique visuals. He directs a lot of his own music videos. His friends from childhood are in them as well, which is something that I emulate in my music videos because I was inspired by him doing it. And I absolutely love like how he puts a different spin on like very, I guess, played out tropes in like hip hop. He doesn't just talk about, you know, women this or, you know, different topics that are very overplayed. He talks about things that are very unique and personal to him, which I think is really admirable. And even if it's a topic that has been talked about before, he does it in a completely different way, which is a huge gift to me. Another artist that I'm super inspired by is Ariana Grande. She kind of has the pop urban sound going for her in her production. And I think that this era of her music is super impressive, how she's been able to transform out of like the Nickelodeon kid era and like really take herself out of that narrative and push forth as a pop sensation. She's just a global superstar, and I think she's incredible in so much of the work that she does. Another person that really inspires me is Post Malone. I also think he lives in this hip hop, pop, rock space, which is cool because we both have a similar background being in heavy metal bands or rock bands, because I was in one in high school for 4 years. And I kind of helped us tour locally. I managed us. We wrote songs together. It was just so much fun and a huge learning experience. So sharing that rock background with him really influences how I see his music and also how his music influences me.
Brilliant. And you can kind of hear a little bit of those coming through, and I can see where you can relate with those artists. And you briefly touched on about music videos there, about including kind of like childhood friends and stuff. The creativity for your music videos is insane. Like, I mean, we've seen the video for Cherry on Top, we've seen the video for Jaguar. They're just like full on productions. Do you come up with these ideas yourself, or do you have someone else that's telling you what to do?
Well, first of all, thank you. But I would say most of the concepts for my music videos have actually been thought of between myself and my mom, who is the director of the music videos. So for example, Trick or Treat, throwing it back to October, we modeled three really famous horror movies, It, Psycho, and The Shining. And that was basically a combination of my love for Halloween, wanting to pay homage to my favorite holiday, and also some really classic films, and drawing inspiration from Ariana Grande's Thank You Next video, where she does just that, but with romantic comedies. So I actually came up with the concept of kind of mirroring Ariana's video, but doing it in the genre of horror instead of romantic comedy. And then my mom helped me come up with different movies we were going to pick and really how we were going to facilitate the whole thing. So that was super awesome. And my childhood friends are in that video as well. And then for Cherry on Top, that was also pretty much between myself and my mom. I knew I wanted it to have like a 1940s old fashioned boardwalk look, something that you don't expect with the type of hyper poppy song that it was. Something that kind of throws you back to the nostalgia of going on those cutesy first dates, starting out a relationship, just something that really makes you feel warm and fuzzy and excited for the summer. So that was the concept for that video. We have like a 1940s, 50s era movie theater that we use in the video as well. This is actually a place that I grew up going to as a kid. It's literally in my hometown, and they were awesome for letting us use it. Shout out Casino Theater.
Pick me up at sunset, drive me down the coast, down at the boardwalk, someplace remote, buying us some ice cream cause you like it cold, but I feel the heat, babe, I can't believe it. A vibe I can't get over. I'm trying to see if we can get closer. Baby, tell me I'm the cherry on top. Got the sugar, gonna make your teeth rot. I'm a treat, you wanna eat me all up. When I'm melting, it's too sweet, you can't stop. Baby, tell me I'm the cherry on top. Got the sugar, gonna make your teeth rot. I'm a treat, you wanna eat me all up. That's right. And when I'm melting, it's too sweet, you can't stop. You beat me at the ring toss, I won in mini golf. We both got no aim, it's not our fault. Tonight feels like a movie, don't make it stop. Summer feature, Millie at the box. Take me out to dinner, I'm always dessert. No indecision, you put me first. Pop out to the movies, sipping on a slushy. Cherry flavor, cause it reminds you of me. You're giving me a vibe I can't get over. I'm trying to see if we can get closer. Tell me I'm the cherry on top. Got the sugar, gonna make your teeth rot. I'm a treat, you wanna eat me all up. When I'm melting, it's too sweet, you can't stop. Baby, tell me I'm the cherry on top. Got the sugar, gonna make your teeth rot. I'm a treat, you wanna eat me all up. When I'm melting, it's too sweet, you can't stop. We got that Ben and Jerry's, that Garcia cherry, Neapolitan, but I don't like strawberry. Give me cotton candy, babe, let's go non-dairy. Netflix and chill, I got that Tyler Perry. Baby, tell me I'm the cherry on top. Got the sugar, gonna make your teeth rot. I'm a treat, you wanna eat me all up. When I'm melting, it's too sweet, you can't stop. Baby, tell me I'm the cherry on top. Got the sugar, gonna make your teeth rot. I'm a treat, you wanna eat me all up. When I'm melting, it's too sweet, you can't stop.
And then for the next video for Jaguar, that concept was actually mainly my mom's storyline wise, but visually I had a very set idea of what I wanted. I wanted the neon lights, the cop car lights, the red and blue, the dark colors, the nighttime shots. I wanted to really model like a Euphoria type of visual effect, like the show, both with the outfits and kind of the storyline. So that was something that we collaborated on, and that was really awesome.
Brilliant. The Jaguar video is absolutely amazing, and we know that that has reached over 2 million views, and it's done that in the space of 2 days. That must have been pretty insane for you to put your video out there and get that. What was that like when you realized like that it was just going viral?
It was so insane for me to see that. I was actually in the middle of a really stressful week, kind of gearing up for finals, because I just finished up my semester. So the past month has just been nonstop craziness, final projects, wrapping everything up, moving out of my apartment, and then moving back to Los Angeles. So everything's been super insane, but seeing that and kind of having it cut through everything else that was going on at the time was really rewarding. And I was like, okay, I'm doing this for a reason. It's being received well. I'm excited for the next releases. It just kind of gave me hope to keep going and pushing forward.
crash on a Monday. Never told nobody, no. Headed straight for the arcade and downtown for the parade. Now we're running from the cops, crossing backyards, cruising by your city in a Jaguar. Always told me it was your car, but it was your daddy's, and I know that. Running from the cops, crossing backyards, cruising by your city in a Jaguar. Always told me it was your car, but it was your daddy's, and I know that. Yeah, I know that. Takes me right back. I love you, no cap. Please say it back. You pretend not to know me, treat me like a homie, got me feeling lonely, oh, oh, oh. You said I was one and only, that was when you told me you want me as your girl, and I met your mom. How's she doing, though? You were my Romeo, out on Rodeo, never going home. Running from the cops, crossing backyards, cruising by your city in a Jaguar. Always told me it was your car, but it was your daddy's, and I know that. Running from the cops, crossing backyards, cruising by your city in a Jaguar. Always told me it was your car, but it was your daddy's, and I know that. You promised me so many things, house in the hills, so diamond rings. I never said no to anything. I'm a queen, you were my king. I was on top of the world back when I was your girl. Getting into trouble with you, we had nothing to lose except for you. Running from the cops, crossing backyards, cruising by your city in a Jaguar. Always told me it was your car, but it was your daddy's, and I know that. Running from the cops, crossing backyards, cruising by your city in a Jaguar. Always told me it was your car, but it was your daddy's, and I know.
And we know that you haven't stopped working as well, because, I mean, since then you are still working on new songs, you're working on new videos. What can we expect to come from you then for the next couple of releases?
So I have a new song coming out at the end of June, and it's called 21, to correlate with my 21st birthday. So it'll probably be coming out about a week after my birthday, which is on June 17th, fun fact. But I am super excited about this. This song is really about the people who've shaped my life in the past 4 years, coming to university, and even my childhood friends that have stuck around through that time period, how they've been able to support me in moving forward, not only with my career, but with personal growth and really just emotional support. So this song is a love letter to them and to my university for shaping me into who I am today.
Brilliant. So I'd just like to wish you a happy early 21st birthday as well.
Thank you.
No problem. It must be really exciting to kind of have everything excelling, because like all of your streams and your views have just racked up, and it's been so quick as well. Have you found that kind of daunting, or has it been encouraging for you?
I feel like it's definitely a little bit of both, because the more attention you get on something, the more pressure you feel to make the next thing perfect. You know, the more pressure you feel to constantly put out content and be on top of it and be consistent. And while those things are all super important for artists, no matter what level they're at, when you're getting millions of eyes kind of on, you know, projects that you're doing, basically just between you, yourself, your parents, and your best friends, it's like, wow, this can actually be something. So it's really cool, it's rewarding, but it's also extremely daunting. And it really just encourages me to learn from past mistakes, to learn from past experiences, really, and become better every time I do it.
Brilliant. And we've seen you feature on some tracks, some kind of Latin-inspired tracks. You are multilingual. Now, we're going to talk about the features first, so tell me a little bit about them, and then we'll get on to the rest of it.
Yeah, so I pretty much started out professionally making music in the Latin pop market because I took a trip to Colombia in 2018, where I really enjoyed working with producers there. Really, it was just to facilitate some meetings between different people we knew down there in the industry. And I ended up in the studio for 5 days straight and came up with 6 songs, like right on the spot. And I realized that I thrive so much, like in those creative spaces, writing and recording nonstop, really like being in my art form. So working with Darkan and Emmanuel and other people that I've had features with, it's been incredibly rewarding to see how they write songs, learn from their processes, and really become a better artist as a collaborator.
Do you find that doing those features could be an escape for you, or would you like to include the Latin-inspired sound in your own releases as well?
It's definitely something that I'm always welcome to revisit. I definitely want to still incorporate the language into my music, regardless of whether or not it's hitting more of the reggaeton vibes or like American mainstream pop vibes. It's still a huge part of who I am and my identity and how I grew up. So I absolutely want to continue incorporating my heritage into my music.
Brilliant. So we did kind of touch off that you are multilingual. I mean, you can speak English, you can speak Spanish, you can speak Chinese, amongst others. Tell me a little bit about how you, like how kind of like that came about for you.
Yeah, so I grew up speaking Spanish and English in the home. My first words were actually in Spanish, and then I kind of lost it a little bit more when I went to preschool and elementary school, when you're just surrounded by English speakers. But I really tried to hold on to it by speaking in Spanish to my grandma and my parents as much as I could. Of course, as a kid, sometimes you're stubborn, you just want to be lazy and speak in English, just because it's what you're hearing all the time. But especially since moving to Miami for university, it's something that I've really been able to focus on a lot more, which I really appreciate. As far as Chinese, my mom actually took some courses in Chinese when she was at university. So she did a semester in China when she was in grad school, and it was really, really cool to hear her come back and like share all these exciting stories about the culture, about the language. And she actually was the reason that I started taking lessons, because she was learning it herself. So that was cool, and something that we kind of went through together as a family, like learning Chinese together and trying to keep each other on top of it. And I ended up enrolling in a community college and taking Chinese lessons there all through middle school.
I'm struggling to find like how, or figure out how you find the time for everything you've done. Like, you just seem to be, you're in college, you're actually been doing like finals, you're multilingual, you play five instruments. How do you squeeze it all in?
I honestly think it's a question I ask myself, and I often compromise mostly in the sleep department. I think I would rather compromise on sleep than not seeing my friends or not being able to do something that I need to do. So, you know, it has its ups and downs, but I feel like I definitely have different periods of time where I'm doing more or doing less. So that also helps me balance like all of my responsibilities.
Brilliant. It definitely is better to lose some sleep than to...
Exactly.
Lose other bits. Do you think like, or find your music has branched into these different areas and like gone outside of the USA because of your background and stuff, or are you still kind of working on branching out?
I think that my music has found a lot of success in Latin America just because of how I began as an artist. So I already had established fan bases in Colombia and Spain and Mexico, in different regions that really impact me now as an artist, and like continuing that fan base in those regions as well. As far as breaking into the American audience, that's something that I've really been successful with doing through Spotify and YouTube, and just kind of getting that American listenership up, and even European listenership up as well. You know, in Ireland and England, I have listeners. So it's really just exciting to see like other people and other cultures and other places being able to resonate with something that I wrote from my own perspective.
Amazing. If I could ask if you had any tips, because in Ireland at the moment, our scene is quite small. So if you had any tips for people who were to market their music or who were looking to reach a wider audience, what have you kind of learned the most, or what would be the most beneficial way of doing that?
I would honestly say to find your niche, whether that's a look, your sound, a combination of a couple of things, something that really helps you stand out from the crowd, whether you're an instrumentalist, whether you're self-produced, whether you're a cook, a painter, anything that you can do that really sets you apart, that you can couple with your musical endeavors, will really allow you to form that kind of social media base, which is really important nowadays in the music industry. So whether that happens on TikTok, on Instagram, on Twitter, just, you know, do things that are true to yourself that allow other people to connect with you. I think that's super, super invaluable, as well as, you know, focusing on targeting content to different regions. If you're from a small city in Ireland, maybe try to find that hometown fan base and that homegrown support before you even push out into other regions, because that's extremely important to have people in your area that are willing to go support you live in shows.
Brilliant. That is a great piece of advice. And it is important to be kind of true to yourself and also to allow your own talents to show. It doesn't necessarily have to be musically orientated, but just something that you are good at. We have seen you be quite vocal about a lot of like social issues that are going on. You have spoken out about like racism that's going on. You're strong and dominant about like female issues or female empowerment. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Absolutely. With everything going on in the world right now, there is such an abundance of issues that we need to tackle, especially as a generation. I really admire how Gen Z and some of the millennials that are on social media are really able to be advocates through their platforms, you know, reaching crazy, crazy audiences just through TikTok alone. I received a lot of invaluable information over last summer about the different protests that were going on with the Black Lives Matter movement. And it was important to me to be able to share that information on my own platform as well. Because I think as artists, as people with platforms, it's really important that we utilize the viewership that we receive to spread important messages and, you know, be activists for people who don't have as large of a platform. Also to bolster people in those communities, people of color who are able to share their own information on their own platforms and bolster them by resharing and retweeting infographics that maybe they are coming up with themselves and not taking up the whole space with our own narrative. I think it's really important to center the people who have an actual say on the issues that are being discussed. So that's something that's extremely important to me as an artist. As far as women's rights issues, we're seeing some Supreme Court challenges of Roe versus Wade in the coming weeks in the US. And that's extremely daunting, given that this legislation has been in place for 50 plus years, something that hasn't really been challenged in a long, long time, besides on a state by state basis. So seeing something like that happening federally and not really knowing what you can do about it, the most important thing you can do is to spread awareness, make sure people know to get out and vote in the next election, because the people that you're electing to office are directly in charge of nominating these Supreme Court justices that are appointed for life. So it's really not a light decision kind of picking out those elected officials that you want to have represent you in politics. You know, I'm a very big proponent of civic engagement. I think you should get out there, vote, donate to campaigns, participate in campaigns, people who you really believe in the message of, participate in grassroots organizations, nonprofits, NGOs, just kind of get your foot in the door as easily as you can. Even if it's just starting with sharing infographics on social media, that can really be a gateway to learning more about the community as a whole.
Definitely. It is important to, as you say, especially over in America, is to get out and vote. I mean, we know that you guys are still kind of healing from everything that's gone on over the past couple of years. In terms of you saying there for people to get out and share information on social media, we know sometimes that the stuff that's shared can be infactual. Like, how would you, or what would you say to people to ensure that what they are sharing is the correct information?
I would definitely encourage everyone to fact check before they just share a trendy infographic. I know I've been guilty of it myself, sharing something and then coming to learn later that it wasn't 100% accurate. And that's just a downfall of social media and any sort of free media access that we have on social media platforms, because people can upload anything. They can say the sky is orange and you will have to, you know, fact check and go outside and see if you believe them or not. So, you know, it's important to do your own research. And if an infographic is bringing your attention to an issue for the very first time, then maybe dig your heels in a little bit, spend 5-10 minutes researching from, you know, unbiased perspectives. So learn about things from one side, learn about things from the other, and then formulate your own opinion from that information that you're piecing together. Don't just take things at face value, because people always have a personal narrative that they're trying to spin as well. While infographics can also be extremely educational, you know, just try to fact check if you can.
Most definitely. That is the best piece of advice that you could give. To reel things in a little bit, how are you finding being a female in the music industry? Because we know now that you have attracted a lot of attention, and we do know that it can be extremely hard for females in this industry. Have you found yourself kind of having to fall into a mold, or having to fight against falling into the mold, or has the experience been okay for you?
Honestly, it's something that I dealt with more like in a music education standpoint than working in the industry itself. I feel like the industry has really begun opening up a lot of spaces for women to be producers, songwriters, artists, to really just thrive in that space. Obviously, there are always going to be pitfalls. There's always going to be setbacks, but I myself personally haven't really experienced them in the professional setting. But I will say that in my music education experience between high school and college, because I also went to a performing arts high school, I did receive a lot of, you know, backlash for being a female guitarist. And, you know, being a female instrumentalist in an instrument that is perceived as more typically masculine, or even being a female producer now in my professional life in a male-dominated section of the industry, it's really difficult kind of being able to have a voice in those rooms that are like 99% male, especially in high school when teachers would be 99% male. I think I only had one female music teacher in 4 years of high school, and I was literally majoring in classical piano and jazz guitar. So just between certain genres being very male dominated and certain instruments being very male dominated, it can be hard to be taken seriously as a woman while participating in those fields. So that's something that I've really learned from and learned to advocate for myself because of. And, you know, if you feel like you're being silenced or drowned out in those rooms, you need to put your foot down, you need to speak up, you need to be loud, you need to be aggressive. And it doesn't matter how you're perceived, because if a man was doing the same thing, he would not be perceived as being aggressive, he would be perceived as being assertive. So it's important to kind of, you know, distinguish yourself in a way that demands respect.
Brilliant. It is. It's all about being confident and kind of just being able to put your foot down and having a strong belief in yourself and what you do and knowing that you are talented. You have kind of had the opportunity to be involved with many platforms. Tell me what your favorite thing you've done to date is.
Oh, that's so hard. Oh my goodness. I feel like there's a couple of really defining moments that have happened in the past few months as far as like media, PR, publications and things. I really was taken aback to see my video Cherry on Top on MTV. That was literally so insane. And I didn't even get to see it live. I just saw a video of it being on MTV, but that was enough for me. It was just so, so, so incredibly cool. Just reaching that milestone and really mind-boggling for me. Another moment was my first live TV appearance. That was really cool. It was over Zoom still because of COVID, but I got to appear on Las Vegas, Fox News, their local news channel, just kind of being broadcast to the public about my song Cherry on Top. So that was awesome. Another really cool thing was being on NBC Six in the Mix in Miami, Florida, another local TV station, just kind of getting those first tastes of, you know, live TV publications, and even being in something like Flaunt Magazine was really cool. Just these publications that I know a lot of people that I personally know are going to see or read about. So that's been really, really rewarding, kind of being able to have a greater audience from those experiences as well.
Brilliant. I say it's going to be hard to top all of those because it's all just happened at the same time as well. And for such big platforms to pick everything up, if I was to ask you, how would you top those, or what would the next kind of dream place or magazine or stage be? What would you say?
I am absolutely obsessed with SNL. So the day that I get to host SNL or perform even for SNL, I will cry a million and one tears. I love all the cast on the show. I've been watching it since I was way too young to be watching it. I was probably like 5 the first time I ever saw an episode of SNL. So SNL, Jimmy Fallon, you know, The Tonight Show. I just think all of those like late night TV shows are really, really fun. And like just the questions that they get as the interviewee is just so exciting and fun.
Yeah, well, we have it on record now. We're going to speak it into existence. It will happen.
Yes, let's manifest.
If I was to ask you who your or if you had to pick someone to feature on a song, who would you pick?
Okay, this is hard because I also have a couple of answers for this.
Okay,
I feel like I have a top three. Is that okay?
Go for it. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like you can never say no to Champagne Poppy. Drake, his features are incredible on almost everything he does. He has so many songs with a million different artists, in different genres, from R&B to hip-hop to pop. Like, he's just extremely versatile, like, as a collaborative artist. I really respect him for that, and I think he'd be so awesome to have on a song. Another one is Post Malone, for the reasons I kind of said earlier. I think our historical background with rock music, kind of moving into this hip hop space and pop space, is really, really cool. And I think that we could make some awesome harmonies, some awesome melodic ideas, some awesome lyrical concepts together if we were in the studio. Another person I really want to work with, honestly, dream collab, like Lady Gaga was a huge inspiration to me growing up. She's so incredibly out of the box. Like, she's always been so original and unique and true to herself as an artist, from her jazz album with Tony Bennett to her country style album, Joanne. Like, it's just amazing seeing all the different stages of her career that she's been able to navigate.
Brilliant. We're going to manifest those ones as well, because they are some great people that you have listed off in there.
Let's go.
Have you, I know COVID is kind of putting a dampener on things at the moment, but have you got any plans to go on tour or to have a few concerts around anytime soon?
I'm definitely excited for Los Angeles opening up in June. So they're set to open up pretty much to normal capacity as of June 15th, I believe. So once that happens, I'm really just going to be putting my foot pedal to the metal to find local venues to perform my latest songs in. So I'm going to be performing Cherry on Top, Jaguar, my new single 21, you know, all the recent songs that I've released in the past year. And just really putting that set together, getting super polished and being excited to really connect with fans like face to face, because that's something I haven't been able to do before.
Yeah, I'm sure everything has been quite difficult because your career has excelled during the course of COVID, and then not being able to interact with people or to kind of feel stuff in a real life environment must be kind of hard for you to be putting your stuff out there and to be getting feedback but not to actually feel it, if that makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah, it feels super surreal living in this virtual digital space instead of actually like seeing something tangible. So that has been an interesting part of this whole thing, honestly.
Brilliant. We'll have to get you to come over to Ireland at some stage as well. We will happily host you here and get you to perform in one of our venues here. So that's something you'll have to put on the cards in the near future.
I would love that. I would love that so much. I've never been to Ireland, but it looks so gorgeous.
No way. Well, definitely we're going to get that into plan now. So there we have your background. We have all the wonderful things that you've worked on. We've got information about your songs, your videos. We have all the excitement news, all the goss that's to come, coming up to your 21st birthday, the release of your new single, 21. It is going to be an exciting year ahead for you. So thank you very much for coming on and for having a chat with me and giving me all the information that you have.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Kelly. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today.
No problem.
Latina. Jasmine. Solo quiero una vida buena, estar con mis amigos y andar afuera. No quiero más complicaciones, solo uno con buenas intenciones. Intentions, intentions, often left without a mention. I remember when my father asked him his, and all he had to say, I'll bring her back by 8. Does that count as a date? Did he even pay? But really what he had in his heart was, maybe I can just outsmart her.
architect. He wanted what he could not get. He said to me, I was his Latin thing. My ethnicity giving no feeling. But really what he had in his heart was, maybe I can just outsmart her.
No, no, no. She thinks
Latina.